Frank, we were just talking about the process of hiring coaches and things like that. You've been through this process. You can speak directly to what we're talking about. You've been through the process of interviews to be a head coach, interviews to be a coordinator. Just how different is it from team to team, and how much do you have to prepare for all those different types of scenarios and situation walking into those interviews?
It's a pretty exciting time, I mean, because you get a chance to meet with owners and GMs and, you know, the top people in this business. And, you know, these are great people who have, you know how to do things, and it's exciting. The two head coaching interviews that I've had were great experiences for me, you know, on every level. You know, and the cool thing is, it's not just about the interview. I mean, these things are so thorough. They do a 360 search. I mean, they're calling everyone. It seems like they call everyone you've ever interacted with, every janitor, every player, every coach. They really do their homework, which is really, I think, the way you got to do it. I mean, you're investing a lot of money in a head coach or even an offensive or a defensive coordinator, and you got to be thorough in that process.
You talked about being thorough. What are some of the things that they necessarily look for when they're interviewing you, and then some of the things that you look for when you're doing an interview?
Well, you know, I think a couple things they're looking for. You know, they're looking for your vision for the team. You know, what is it? What are going to be your core values? What are going to be those things that the program is going to ride on? What's going to be your mantra and the theme that you're going to carry through and repeat every day? I think that, you know, they're also looking for, you know, how do you handle adversity? You know, can you get a team through a tough time? Because it's going to happen in this league. You know, can you get a team through a tough time? And then really, I think the other thing they want to know, and I think this is the big one, they want to know who your staff is. They want to know who you're going to hire as an offensive and a defensive and a special teams coordinator. That's such a core part of what you have to do. And so staffing is a huge part. And so especially if you're a first-time head coach, mm-hmm. Prospective first-time head coach like I was, there's even more importance on who you're going to have as your coordinators. Now, if you're a proven NFL head coach, I think they put a little bit – they trust that more. But when you're interviewing as a first-time prospective head coach, they have a real strong interest in who your staff's going to be.
And then what are some of the things that you look for or you might ask them when you're in an interview?
Well, one of the big questions that every head coach has is, you know, how's the control of the roster going to go? Mm-hmm. You know, how much say? And I think today it's done differently with different teams. You know, and I think more than anything, what I look for is I really thrive on a collaborative effort. And I feel if you have the right dynamics and the right trust, if I were interviewing for a head coaching position, I'd be one of those guys that'd be fine with the GM having the say, having the final vote on a lot of those things, as long as I felt like this is going to be a collaborative effort between the GM, the head coach, and the scouts and the coaching staff. The places where I've been, where we work together, that's never been an issue, but you just want to get a sense that's going to happen.
The last question I have for you on this coaching, let's say you're doing an interview for a certain team. They might not necessarily have their franchise quarterback. Is that something that you talk about? Like, who's the quarterback going to be? I mean, is that something that you talk about in an interview?
Absolutely. That's a huge part of it. The personnel, and you're exactly right, Donald, that I really missed that they want to talk. They want to hear you as the prospective head coach talk about their personnel. You know, so you're walking into a position, you know, the interviews that I've done, hey, tell us, what do you think of our roster? Who do you like on our roster? What do you think? Who are you going to build around? Who are the key, you know, that kind of a conversation. And so every position is important, but obviously the quarterback position has probably a little bit more importance than the rest. So, and as a guy who's an offensive coordinator and a former quarterback, those are, you know, I feel like a strength that I bring to the table. As far as, hey, who's your quarterback going to be, but that's one place where I want to have a lot of say. That's one place where I feel like my expertise is at. And so whether we're going to be drafting a guy or whether there's going to be a competition between a couple guys who are currently on the roster, those are things that as a prospective head coach, at least with my background, that's an area where I'd want to say, hey, this is a call I feel like I need to make.
You know, Frank, you coached Phillip Rivers, and you go from him, a guy who has, you know, pretty much like Hall of Fame credentials in many areas, a very, you know, been in this league a long time, a veteran quarterback, to going to coach Carson Wentz. What kind of shift is that for you as a coach, as a coordinator? How different is that to coach a guy like Phillip Rivers and then go to a guy like Carson Wentz who's just starting his career, especially for someone who has seen that, who has been there and has played quarterback in this league?
It's an awesome transition. I mean, for me, it couldn't work out any better having a chance to have coached Peyton Manning and Phillip Rivers, you know, and then to go and now – So you get two guys who are in the prime of their career who have done it all in one respect and have had great careers. And now you go and you get a chance to really develop a guy from the ground up. I just think it has really well equipped me to be an asset to Carson, to help him, help him understand what it takes, having been around some guys at the top and played with, obviously, Jim Kelly as well. So having been around that, you can bring that to bear on that situation.
Now, last year, Carson came on strong in the early part of the season, and then he started to die. You know, I guess he balanced off once we got later into the season. What do you feel like some of the things he needs to improve upon, and how's he looked this offseason?
He's looked great. You know, I think it'll be a whole different animal. He did have a solid rookie year, all things considered, especially when you consider 8 days before our opener last year, he was the third-team quarterback, mm-hmm. and he had been hurt for the last two or three preseason games and was our third-team quarterback. And then we make a trade 8 days before the season opener, and he's our starter. Right. And we start out 3-0. So that was a big credit to him, to the guys on the team rallying around him. And then, you know, I think some of it's just the ups and downs of the league. Yeah, I mean, he came out really hot, was the talk of the league. And things settled down. Defenses catch up a little bit. You go through the ebbs and flows of the season at quarterback. That's just the way it goes. I mean, and so really what you're looking for in year two is improvement. You know, I want him to take us to the playoffs and beyond. I want him to make the Pro Bowl in year two. You can't go from 0 to 60 right. at the quarterback position in 1 year. It doesn't happen. So he already started out very well. If he can make some good progress, have a little bit higher completion percentage, we got to make more big plays in the passing game. I think we've helped him. Last year, we were in a tough predicament, you know, at the skill position at time, our offensive line, when we lost our starting right tackle for 10 games, some of those things factored in. So what we're looking for in year two, more consistency, higher completion percentage, more big plays, and just playing consistent winning football.
Now he's had a full offseason in your program, and I see he's embracing that leadership role, and he's had all of the guys out to Fargo out there in North Dakota. Is that something that you talked to him about?
I think, you know, listen, this guy is mature beyond his years, and, you know, he knows how it goes. He is a natural leader. So even though he's only in his second year, that part of it's been very natural for him to take that role, to be more vocal. I think that comes easy to him. I think he really is an unselfish player. That's one of the things I really love about him, even though I think he has star qualities and is physically, you know, gifted in some significant ways. I think he's a humble guy. I think it's all about the team for him. I don't think he's a stat guy. I think that he's concerned about winning. And so I love the fact that he's having the guys out there to North Dakota, you know, to build that camaraderie, to work on some route running and timing and accuracy. I think that's great for him and great for us.
Former Bills quarterback, current Eagles offensive coordinator Frank Reich joining us here on the John Murphy Show. Frank, what does Alshon Jeffrey do for this offense?
I mean, he just provides a big play receiver. I mean, here's a guy who's, he's proven that he's a big play receiver. Will be a big help in the red zone. He's got a knack on the fade ball. He's got a huge catch radius, really good at contested catches. He's not a speed guy. Alshon's not a speed guy, but he's fast enough. And I always kind of like to use the analogy because of his size. Anytime you get, even if you get a guy who's average speed, but if he's big, it feels like he's going faster than he is to a DB, and it still threatens the DB. So I think he's a deep threat. I think he's a threat in the red zone. He's got really, really good ball skills. I mean, I think he has elite ball skills. that really comes into play, making contested catches on third downs and move the sticks. So really, what he's shown in the offseason and OTAs, love his attitude, love his work ethic. So we just need to, you know, bring that and keep developing that and stay healthy and make those plays that we need him to make.
Monday night on MSG here in Buffalo, we are running the top 10 individual performances in a game in Bills history. We can't reveal it. We can't spoil it for everybody, but there's a sneaky suspicion that your performance in the greatest comeback in NFL history is going to be a part of that, Frank. In that game, of course, the Bills came back. They won it. It still holds up as the greatest comeback in NFL history. You had 289 yards and four touchdowns passing in that game. But was there one moment in that game that you always recall, you always think about maybe when you're thinking back upon that game that I'm sure so many people have asked you about?
Oh, there's probably a couple. Maybe, the biggest one was probably the 4th and 5 that we had. We were down, obviously down, and I think that we're 4th and 5 and play clock ran down. So we had to call timeout. I came over to the sideline and, Marv was phenomenal. There was never any doubt in Marv's mind that we were going for it. I knew exactly the play that I wanted to run. So we just kind of, everyone thinks that we called timeout to talk about whether we should kick a field goal or not. Really, the only reason we called timeout, as I recall it, is the play clock ran down because I think we had a play before there that for whatever reason we got behind on the play clock. So when I go over to the sideline, we just kind of confirmed that we're going for it. And, we call a play, and it was a play that I knew I was either going to have Andre Reed going down the middle for the touchdown, or else if not, then I was going to have the back out of the backfield just for pick up the first down. It turned out they played cover 2 man, and Andre did a great job beating the nickel, and we hit the play for the touchdown. That was really the play that I thought we're going to win this game.
It was one of the greatest games in NFL history. It is still the greatest comeback in NFL history. People forget, though, the following week, you had to turn it right around and go to Pittsburgh. You guys won that game 24-3, obviously, while Jim was still injured. You go out in that game, another 16 of 23 for 160 and two touchdowns. One of the things that athletes have to do is get over their wins quickly to move on to the next game. With all the euphoria going on in Buffalo, I remember I was here, Frank. I don't think anybody got a thing of work done the next 2 days after the comeback. How hard was it for you guys to turn around and focus on the Pittsburgh Steelers the next week?
Well, I mean, I really think that was a testament to, to our coaching staff, and obviously led by Marv Levy, and our veteran leadership of, coming down off that high of having the greatest comeback in NFL history. And getting ready the next week to go on the road.
Yeah.
And to go into Pittsburgh of all places and win a playoff game. So, it's funny you say that because I look back on that game and, I'd forgot what my stats were. But now that you say it, it's like I've always thought, even though I didn't recall what my stats were for that game, I've always been really proud of that game for the reasons that you say. To go on the road and win a playoff game on the road after that win, I just think was a big testament to our team and a big win for us.
We see a lot of documentaries, a lot of films, a lot of things being done on the 4 Super Bowls. Now we are, 20 some odd years away from that run. The general sentiment is, Frank Reich, that, the further we get away from that, the more appreciated those football teams were and what that run is. Is that the way you feel about it too? That, I know you're proud of what you did, but obviously we've been in Buffalo, we've had to endure jokes and things like that, 4 Super Bowls and losses, but do you get the sense that nationally that team, that run, that situation is more appreciated the further we get away from that?
Well, it may be, and I think that's a fair assessment. But honestly, I think as players who were involved in it, I don't really concern myself too much with that. I think we, as in Western New York, we know what we had. And I think we all, the fans, the media, and the players, I think we all knew it was something that we shared in together. And I really think it is all of those aspects. I mean, it wasn't just the players. It wasn't just the fans. It was all of it, and the media as well. I mean, I think we all took a sense of pride in those years, in that run that we had. I think we all knew that it was special, And, you know, I think that's, you're right. I think the test of time does kind of prove that out to be that way. But really what we look at is the relationships that I have with players, the relationships that I have with the media, you know, even back in those days. When I see those guys, when I see Murph and, you know, those guys and guys who were around in the media back then, I really look at those guys that we were in it all in it together. The fans, there were fans that used to sit in the stands. I knew where they sat every week. I'd go say hello to them when I come out in the field before the game. You know, and you see those people when I'm in Buffalo, if I run into any of them, it's really cool. So, I think that's what was pretty special about that time.
And what about your relationship now? I mean, we always hear about the brotherhood. Steve and Thurman are both regular contributors to this radio program. They always talk about the brotherhood and the relationship. We see Daryl now after what Jim's been through. I think you guys seem to have even gotten closer, that entire group. What's the relationship like now? I know you're coaching. It's hard on your time, but that brotherhood and that bond you have now these days.
Well, it is a brotherhood, and as you said, all the guys will testify to that. For me personally, as a coach, it's a little bit harder. I don't get to go to Jim's golf tournament, for instance, every year. That kills me that I can't go. But every year, his golf tournament is, you know, there's a Monday that we're in the middle of OTAs and we're in the heat of OTAs, and there's just no way I can get out of it. I can't go to any of the obviously in season alumni events when they have alumni back. I still get to see the guys, talk to them every now and then, but I, unfortunately for me, I'm not able to participate in as much as that as some of the other guys, and to be able to enjoy that as much. But even the little bit that I am, it's like it is something, a bond that cannot be broken.
Frank Reich, current offensive coordinator for the Philadelphia Eagles, former Buffalo Bills quarterback, architect of not only the greatest comeback in NFL history, Donald, the greatest comeback in college history when he's at Maryland. That's the most amazing thing. Frank, that's just seriously still incredible to think you did both of those things. I don't think people realize the college part because you're known for the NFL part. How many people really maybe talk about the college comeback you had as opposed to the NFL these days?
Yeah, I mean, not as many. Not as many, obviously, but there's some. I mean, some of the people who are really true sports people and kind of know are familiar with it, and we'll talk about it. And then, although really, I think it was 4 or 5 years ago that, believe it or not, that college record held for a long time,
That's
like
right.
25 years. But about 4 years ago, I can't remember, and I can't remember who it was, but that record was broken. So. And I'm sure one day the pro record will be broken. I mean, because when we played, when we played that comeback game, there were no 2-point plays. So, if a team gets hot and can convert some 2-point plays, I'm sure at some point that record will be broken. And then you look at what the Patriots did in the Super Bowl this year. I mean, that was pretty special as well. It just shows you that it can be done. And it's not about one play. It's about the whole team. It's about all three phases syncing together, just playing good football, getting a few breaks, and pretty exciting stuff.
Michigan State, that's who it was, Frank. I got it right here. Michigan State, they came back to beat Northwestern, a 38-point comeback. Pretty crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Pretty crazy. Hey, Frank, August 17th, the Bills are at the Eagles, so we look forward to seeing you then. I'd love to shake your hand and say hello, but we really thank you for your time today. I know it's tough on you guys during the offseason, all the things you got to put together for your offense. Best of luck for your Eagles season this year, and we look forward to seeing you on August 17th in that preseason game in Philly.
Well, thanks for having me, guys. Take it easy.